Welcome to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment, a personal guide to achieving your financial goals. In each episode, certified financial planner Dominique Henderson reveals insights to the underlying truths of how to be truly financially content by learning to put your money where your heart is. Dominique is the owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, LLC, a fee-only registered investment advisory firm offering comprehensive financial planning and wealth management services to entrepreneurs. You can learn more about Dominique and his firm by visiting their website, www.djh-capital.com, or on social media by the hashtag Financial Literacy Bootcamp. Now here's the maven himself, Dominique Henderson.
Welcome back to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson. And today we will be rounding up or finishing up a series we started last week, which was decoding our money messages. So we'll do part two this week. And just a quick recap, we were talking about a book I was reading, The Seven Stages of Money Maturity by George Kinder, and really kind of interweaving some of the ideas around this continuum that we go through of maturity from basically innocence and childhood until we are a mature adult. And that's, there's a parallel, right? That happens in life, and that should happen around different subjects in life, particularly money. And so episodes 8, 9, and 10, where we were developing our money mindset, I've been trying to basically create a mosaic of ideas into one succinct idea. Hopefully I'm being successful with doing that, around decoding this money messages, anything that we've been telling ourselves that are possibly untrue. We're going to get into that a little bit deeper today about some of the untruths that we tell ourselves. And in more so, this is always a solutions oriented podcast. How do we get out of that? You know, what are some tips to get out of that? So we'll discuss that today, and then we'll wind it up and bring it in for a landing. So, okay. So where I want to start today is really before we get into the fact of how we need to divorce ourselves from the emotions of money, I want to really unpack that phrase. I want to start by some questions that Mr. Kinder has in his book. And forgive my reading. I'm going to try to look at you as much as I can in the eye for you people that are listening on YouTube. So he says this. He says, money maturity helps resolve the troubling emotional conflicts around money that never seem to go away. For many of us, money represents anything but peace. If you answer yes to any of these questions, you know what I mean. Do you sabotage yourself around money by, say, saving toward a goal only to fritter your money away in a shopping spree, charging less for your work than you need to make a living, or refusing to save for the future, right? Some of us may deal with that. Do you feel chained to a job that limits your ability to express yourself and hampers your freedom just because you need the money? Are you so caught up in the rat race and so fearful that somebody else will take your place if you stop for a heartbeat or a breather, that you can't relax, not even for the weekend? Does the pursuit of money have you so drained that at the end of the day, you don't have the energy for what you truly love to do, like play tennis, music, write, sculpt, or paint, listen to J.S. Bach or Bob Marley, spend time with your spouse, partner, children, or family? Last but not least, he has some more questions, but I don't have to read through all of these. Do you want to give more to your community, yet also feel you can't because your financial situation blocks you? And one more, because I got to hit this. Are you always in debt? Ever struggling just to make the next payment, living paycheck to paycheck, and still spending too much digging an even deeper pit of indebtedness? So a lot of those are familiar questions, and I know I see and hear them all the time. I've been doing this for nearly two decades now. So what are some of the things that we have to do? Well, I think before we get into that, let's talk about that. Let's just go ahead and call a spade, right? Let's talk about that unfamiliar, sometimes subconscious voice that speaks to us about money. So I'll give you an analogy. I always like to give stories. When I was younger, I had this Linus tendency, this Linus complex. If anybody is listening to this that doesn't know who Linus is, just go Google Peanuts and Charlie Brown. Linus was a character on there that always carried around a blanket. And so it was his coping mechanism for, I guess, any anxiety or frustration he was feeling, probably from the the antics of Lucy. But anyway, I'm dating myself a little bit. But here we go. So I had this Linus complex where I used to rub my pillow to soothe, you know, to soothe me as I went to sleep. And I don't know where I got this from. I guess my mom would have a lot of color on this story. But it was in and of itself, it was this calming, reassuring posture that I adopted or took to help me deal with my anxiety or nervousness. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I had an instance where I was very young and impressionable and I had something that scared me. I don't know if you guys listened to How to Unlearn Fear, but at the end of that, I gave you the two natural fears that we have, which is the fear of loud noises or the fear of falling. Maybe I had a loud noise as a baby and I just needed some comfort. I don't know. I'm just guessing here. But there was a subconscious message that was being played that this will soothe you, Dominique. Just, you know, coddle your pillow. And often we have these subconscious messages that play. Remember, our brain is like a computer. So it just depends on what software you're running. These messages play in our psyche and, you know, there's a different message for everyone, obviously, but these different messages play in our psyche around money. And you could be telling yourself that you'll never have enough and that you have to keep on saving and you need to be frugal and you're a money hoarder and you control things. And maybe that causes stress between you and your significant other because of, you know, maybe they have a totally different mindset and they're more the spender. So, you know, I've seen it all and I've dealt with it all. I've been married for 20 years. So I think that, you know, at some point, you have to realize the untruth that is being played in that subconscious message, and you have to divorce or separate yourself from it, because that untruth is what you believe. And as I stated last episode, if you believe something, you're going to behave that way. And so the only real way to do this, just, you know, there's a lot of ways to kind of parse the vernacular, but you have to change the program that's playing. And so you have to first discover what's untrue about it, right? You have to identify what the untruth is that you're telling yourself. So that's kind of the first key to dealing with that. And I just know that, you know, there's usually some type of early childhood experience, maybe with your parents or a sibling, that has caused this message to start or to initiate. And then it just begins to play and it's reinforced over the years. So it can really seem like it's really true. But as adults, we should be able to discern the difference between something that began, you know, really early in our childhood that has maybe nothing to do with money. Because if we're going back to the premise that money is just a proxy for a value transaction and that no emotion should be tied to it, we should be able to easily dispel the untruth, that we're telling ourselves. But, you know, I think at some point you just have to say, like I did with my pillow, why am I still doing this? Like, I don't need this anymore. I'm whatever I was anxious about or fearful of or nervous about, let's just say it started that way. I can now realize that I can have a good night's sleep without anxiety and without nervousness. There's not a loud noise that's going to scare me. And I don't need this extra comfort. I can just go to sleep. So nowadays I use, I might have a relaxing beverage, but that's beyond the point as far as my sleep patterns. But I have to really ask myself in all seriousness here, I have to ask myself, do I really believe this, whatever this untruth is, do I really believe this? And is it really true? If you really believe it, you have to then start questioning yourself, go down the rabbit hole, Alice, and say, why do I believe it? And then after you have that conversation, you're going to probably eventually believe that you can let go of it, right? And so you let go of it, you dispel it, you realize it's an untruth, you want to let go of the pillow. What do you do now, Linus? Well, I think you have to replace that, right? You have to replace it with something, otherwise it may come back. So if you replace it with a passion, a purpose, a dream that you have that will be financed by this value, or by this proxy for a value transaction called money, then you start to really tap into, you know, some unearthed potential in yourself, right? Because when you are focused on a passion or a dream or a vision or a purpose that you have, money just becomes a conduit by which you can make that thing bigger and reach more people, right? I often give the example of what I'm doing in financial planning and podcasting. We'll bring this in thing for a landing right here. What I'm doing on the podcast, I'm fueled by the fact that I'm helping people. And money is just a means to get that to a larger platform, right? I don't necessarily need money in order to do what I'm doing. Like, it doesn't motivate me for what I'm doing. The motivation comes with the fact that I love to teach. I love to help people. I love to talk about this kind of stuff. And if I can get it to a bigger platform because I have more money, well, that's great. But I'm not doing it for the money, if that makes sense. And so I think your dream or your passion and your purpose has to be like that, because there's nothing that can deter you, right? There's, at that point, there's no obstacle that can really deter you, because you're going to be very creative and inventive around how you can get your purpose fulfilled. So these are just kind of things we deal with as financial planners, is walking people through this type of exercise to get them to understand that although you have a 9-to-5 and your vocation is very worthy and valid, watch to make sure that you're just not punching a time clock, that you're just not in the rat race, as George Kinder says. And at the end of the day, you have no fulfillment, right? You want to continue to feel contented, and you want to feel like you're feeling a purpose in life. And you just got to align what your purpose is, what your dream, what your passion is in life. And once you align that and let money come behind it to support it or in overlap, you have true financial contentment, right? So hopefully that is helpful in helping you decode the money messages that we tell ourselves. And next week, we'll be back with something that you'll enjoy. All right. Have a great and prosperous day. Take care.